speak to you this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, good morning. As you can tell, we got a lot of vacationers out today. It is that time of year, isn't it? Isn't it? It's also the time of year where I traditionally just am absolutely amazed as I go up and down the roads, being of a farming background and looking across fields that are grown. When you look at the corn and what it suffered and the heat and the dry, and today if you ride to certain fields, it looks beautiful. And it's just amazing to me to see the crops in the fields grow, and they abound in the nourishment. It's interesting, it's the nourishment that they get, that they grow from, are the resources that are there at its feet, so to speak. It's not a resource or an effort effect, so to speak. It's not an effort effect. The plant can't move and go get something, not like we see it. But it's a design effect. It's a created order in which the Lord has designed the crop to utilize the resources that are provided and are available to them to receive it at any time, as long as they do what they're designed to do. And so the seed, of course, is the end result of all the work, one seed yielding many. So the seed is made, and the seed is interesting because it contains that very essence of life itself, kind of like locked in a lockbox. It is the essence of life regenerated. One gives life to another. And Jesus in our gospel says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There's a harvest, and the seed that has been planted becomes something different and yields 50 times, 100 times, 250 times. And Jesus desires that seed to be his, to come from the field and into his storehouse. And so Jesus adding, as we see looking backwards, adding to the foundation of what would become his church, he calls 72 to go do something. 72, as an aside, y'all might remember, of those 72 was likely St. Matthias. But he sends a 72 out to do his work. And the 72 are committed followers of Jesus. And they display exactly what we've seen, read, and described by Jesus in the last couple of weeks of Luke's gospel. They were prepared to take up their cross daily. They were prepared to have no home. They were prepared to leave everything in this world that they held dear in this world behind. They were prepared to be rejected by the world. They were ready to be those harvesters of souls. And they were dependent wholly on God's providence. Just like those crops in the field, they can't move. The crops don't move. These 72 went out. They weren't told to go acquire these things. They were told to trust in God's providence and do what he has led them to do. And they, as they did this work, they would first go to a house into the new town. And they would profess, they would offer peace. I come in peace. Peace be with this house. And if they were received, then they found their base of operation. That was where they were to stay. And the Lord would provide what they needed to go do the work. And that work was twofold. One, heal the sick. Jesus says first in verse 9, heal the sick. Second, proclaim these words, that the kingdom of God has come near to you. Heal the sick. Proclaim the kingdom of God has come near to you. And then Jesus summarizes it all in verse 16. He kind of groups it all together. And he tells the 72, the one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. And so the call is to witness. And as they witness, the choice is the one who is the hearer to hear or to reject. But you see, the thing is, the one who is hearing seems to know already in their hearts the truth. And they have a choice to receive it or reject it. The voice of these messengers are truly the voice of truth. What the Spirit has already enlightened to that individual to hear, and they either reject or receive. And so the mission that was set before them is still the mission set before us today as the church. Collectively, it all remains the same. We are to be the voice of that truth. For the place, notice what Jesus says, for the place in which he is to go. And his witness is to go to all nations and all peoples. And collectively of the church, there are some of us who are called to be that actual voice. And there are some of us who are that support structure, and some of us who enable, and some of us who are yet to be the voice, but have to learn, have to grow, have to mature first. But those who hear the voice of truth, those that are in that camp that receive that word, they know immediately, they're called within themselves to immediately repent, to turn from their sinful ways, because they find that they have been healed. They have been healed of the broken nature that is in them, just like we have been healed of the broken nature that is within us. They are made well in Christ, as we are made well in Christ. And then we are strengthened. You might think of it as the nutrients being provided that enable us to grow in Christ. And I think it's expressed well. It's easy to kind of overlook. The 72 come back expressing joy. Joy in the reality as they say, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Because it is in the name of Christ Jesus that we are healed. The power is in the work that Christ has done for us. And if we accept this truth, we hear that voice, we repent of our sin, we turn from our sin, we trust in his truth, right? But woe to those who don't. Jesus says, woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Capernaum. And why would he say these in particular? These three towns that now are nothing but ruins today. These were the people. These were God's people. This was God's land that he brought his people into. This is the place that had the synagogue, that had the teachers. And beyond that, they had the miracles. These are the places that Jesus had performed his miracles. And yet, they still denied the truth of his voice. So Jesus says, better to be in Tyre and Sidon, two Phoenician places that didn't have that connection. And he says this because they would have known. They would have seen these miracles. They would have understood it. And so even today, Jesus continues to call, to have a need for us to be that voice, to send his people out into that harvest, whether they receive it or reject it. And I ask myself, I do reflect often, how are we doing? Like in the Christian world, how are we doing in this call? And how are we doing in the Anglican Communion around the world? And how are we doing in the Anglican Church of North America? And how are we doing in the Diocese of South Carolina? How are we doing in the Orangeburg Deanery of the Diocese of South Carolina? And how are we doing at St. Matthias, both corporately and individually? How are we fitting into this teaching of Jesus? Do we find ourselves answering the call? Do we find ourselves mature and ready to answer the call in his truth, to be his voice? Do we pray and study and worship and commune together in a way that is healthy and vibrant and growing? And are we supporting one another as we all reach out collectively to spread the gospel news, the good news of our salvation that brings us peace? That brings us peace to an eternal level. Because there are many people in this world today, and I don't think it's more than it has ever been, although it's much more visible today than it's ever been, that there are people around this world that are struggling to find some level of peace in their life. and they plug in these sinfully deceptive vices that temporarily bring peace momentarily. And so they continuously try to replace, and they're searching and seeking peace. Where's the peace? Where's the peace? Where's the peace? And that peace that we carry being found in Jesus Christ is the peace that they desperately long for. That's the voice that Jesus desires us to present. And it's free. It's available to all. It's the seeds of life that are prepared for the harvest, that are now ripe. That essence of life that is encapsulated, that the Lord of the harvest desires now that we go and that we answer the call to be the voice of truth, that those seeds, that life may enter his storehouse. The harvest is plentiful, even right here in Clarendon County, even right here in Somerton, believe it or not, this little small town. Who shall go two by two? Who shall go two by two and be the voice of Christ in this town and in this county? We're certainly, as a part of the church, called to do so. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let us